Now we started the Mishnah of Tipas Cholov on Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, and I want to go over the Mishnah and then start the Sugya. So we'll use, the next couple of minutes until 7:30. We'll try to do a Chazor on what we did, and I think I have a little bit more of a perspective of this Mishnah. Tipas Cholov Shenofla Ala Chaticha. So the Mishnah is formulating, or at least applying, the principle of no same time. So we want to know whether or not the volume of milk, in this case a very limited volume of milk, that fell onto the meat is enough to impact on the meat, such that if you were to taste the meat, you would taste the milk content in the meat. And how do you go about determining, in the context of this Mishnah, whether or not the milk was significant enough to create an impact of tam, an asinus tam, on the meat? So there are two ways of going. One way is called te'imas kfela. I'll explain what that means. This is a sugya earlier in Masech Techulin, which we did not learn, on Daf Tzadi Zayin. And there the Gemara says that if you have a situation where you don't know whether there's a certain tam, then you give that foodstuff to a guy. He's a tabach mumche, so he's an expert, he's a chef, or perhaps he's a butcher, and he has to, you know, taste his meat to make sure that it's tasty before it, you know, he sells it, and he's very experienced. And the chiddush is that we can rely on him, and he can tell us whether this meat has a taste of milk in it. And he'll be koveh, he'll decide. And the halacha will, this is a big chiddush, that the halacha will rely on a guy. That's the Gemara back on Sadi Zayin Amud Beis. And again, if you had time, which we don't, you know, we'd have to study that so we can see why, you know, usually a guy doesn't have their manus, why does he have their manus in this case? What happens though, Rashi asks, if we don't have a guy, and then we do what's called mesha'arim b'shishin, we evaluate as to whether the ratio between the milk and the meat is 1 to 60. And we'll have to understand exactly how the Gemara derives that conclusion, but we'll right now we'll accept it as axiomatic.
Is the 1 in 60 also back there in Sadi Zion?
Yeah, okay. That's also there.
Okay, thank you.
Now, where is this piece of meat? So you may recall that earlier this week when we started this Mishnah, we mentioned the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. This is a gigantic machlokas. Rashi says that the meat is partially above the rotev and partially submerged in the rotev. Exactly where this Rashi is, we'll try to understand. It's not crystal clear. I'll mention a few possibilities today. And Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that this piece of meat has to be totally, completely above the rotev. If it's partially submerged in the rotev, then the issue, the question that the Mishnah would address is not what's the relationship between the tipa and this piece of meat, but rather what's the relationship between the tipa and the entire contents of the kedera, meaning that with the pipua, with the transmission of the tam from the milk into the basar, it goes through the basar into the entire contents of the kedera, because the basar, according to Rashi, is submerged in the rotev. And Tosfos has to try to figure out, why does the Mishnah address the question of the relationship, the impact of the tipas cholov on this piece of basar, if this piece of basar is submerged in the rotev? Because then the relationship is not between the tipas cholov and this piece of basar, but rather between the tipas cholov and the entire kedera, whatever is in the pot. Because the fact that it's partially submerged in the rotev is enough to connect the tipa through the chatichas basar into the kedera itself, into everything that's in the kedera. Therefore, Tosfos insists that midubar, that what we're talking about here in our Mishnah is a chaticha that's omedes kula chutz lerotev, and this chaticha is standing on the shoulders of a chaticha that is in the rotev, or at least part of the chaticha is in the rotev. So in other words, in the metzias of Rashi, where you have one chaticha that's half above the rotev and half inside the rotev, Tosis Metzias is that there is such a chaticha, but that's not the chaticha that the Mishnah has in mind. The chaticha, the piece of meat that the Mishnah has in mind, is the meat that's standing on top, or sitting on top of that piece of meat that Rashi describes, that's half inside and half outside. Thus, the piece of meat that received this tipas chalav, according to Tosis, is completely above the rotev. It's only the one below it that's partially in the rotev. And therefore Tosis says that since this piece of meat that received the tam, the tipas cholov, is levada, it's alone, therefore if this tipa, although it's a very small, minimal amount of milk, has enough to create a tam in that piece of basar, because let's say that piece of basar is relatively small, then the Mishnah says that that piece of basar becomes basar b'cholov and it's asur. But if the tipa would have fallen on a chaticha that's partially in the rotev, then the tipas cholov is mispashetes, or at least the tam of the cholov is mispashet, derech chatzi chaticha shebetoch harotev, through the agency, so to speak, of the bottom part of that chaticha, el kol akadera. And the Mishnah later on is going to tell us that if he mixes that piece of basar immediately, piece of basar immediately after the challah fell on it, he mixes it together with the rest of the pot, then and only then, as a result of niyar, will the tipa be in a relationship, in a ratio to the entire kedera. And the reason Tosfos says the Mishnah needs niyar is because in the absence of niyar, if he doesn't mix it, then this particular piece of meat, insofar as it's above the rotev, is not considered part of the kedera. And the milk is going to be concentrated and trapped within, or the tam of the milk, within that chaticha. But if we would accept Rashi, that it's not that top chaticha of Tosfos, but rather the chaticha below that, which is half submerged in rotev, then in such case you wouldn't require niyar, even without mixing that chaticha, the entire kedera would be prohibited. Now, where is this Rashi that the chaticha is half in and half out? So the Marsha has a research project here, and he claims that he found the Rashi on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis. Now, what I'm going to do for the few minutes before we officially get to the new sugya, which is the sugya of Abaye and Rava, is I'm going to just mention this Rashi. I'm not going to tell you in a very exhaustive way what we can derive from this Rashi. We'll just sort of touch on the surface, on the part of the chaticha that's above the rotev. That was just a pun. Mm-hmm. Anyway, take a look at Rashi on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis. It's approximately 12 lines up from the bottom. It starts with the word niyar. Do we have such a Rashi?
Yeah, I have it.
Near Gizba.
On Kuf Ches Amud Beis.
Near Gizba.
Correct. So Rashi says the following, that once you do Hagasa, which means you stir the pot, or then it's Menayres HaKedera, what it does is it mixes everything in the Kedera and Mispashet HaTam Bekula, the Tam goes throughout the entire Kedera. And then Rashi says you could accomplish the same thing by Kisui, if he's Mechasa Osa, if he covers it, that's equal to Niyar. Again, that's going to be the sugi that we're not ready for. I'm just mentioning it. But here's the punchline, says the Marsha. Mipnei, what causes this mixture such that now everything is one, you know, one Mishkababa, one Tarovas, one mixture? Mipnei shemei hashulayim olim ad peh. I think if you look at the Aleph, he adds a hey, maybe. Ad piyah, he adds a hey. Oh, you have a hey, okay. Ad piyah v'yardim. Now, Rashi is imagining some sort of a situation where what's ever in the bottom of the pot is somehow going up to the top of the pot, or at least the tam is going all the way up to the tam, up to the peh. Peh is the lip around the top of the kedera. And then the yardim, so that what you have here is like an elevator that goes up and comes down. Let me just read the Marsha and see if we can figure out what the Marsha saw in this Rashi. Again, we're only touching, as I said before, on the surface level. The Marsha says the following, that Rashi indicates that by being menayra sakadera, by mixing the contents of the pot, mashpia al hispashtus hatipa, that's going to impact on the taste of the milk that's going now throughout the kedera. Mipnei, because shebishas hanir, once he mixes it up, olim mehashulayim ad piha kedera. And what is the significance of the fact that according to Rashi, olim mehashulayim ad piha kedera, from the inside of the kedera goes all the way up to the top. Mashma, she'ein dai b'meshamayim olim al mechtzis gvoa shalachaticha. Rashi seems to imply that although half of the chaticha is inside the rotev, the chiddush of Rashi is that the niyar is effective not because it impacts on that part of the chaticha that's submerged in the rotev, but it goes all the way to the top of the chaticha. To the top of the kedera. She'ein hatipa nifletes mimeno bekach. That even if the mixing would have an impact on, let's say, for example, the height of the kedera is, let's say, 10 inches. I'm just throwing out a number, right? Mm-hmm. And the bottom half of the chaticha is submerged 5 inches below, you know, it's a very large piece, and it's submerged below the rotav level 5 inches. So it's 5 inches above the bottom of the pot, and it's another 5 inches above that middle point, all the way up to the top of the pot. And Rashi says that what happens with this nir, it's not enough that he's menayered in such a way that it impacts on the bottom half of the pot, let's say up to the level, the height of 5 inches, but it has to be mashpia, it has to have an impact on the entire pot. Now, why is Rashi telling me that? What forced Rashi to say that he has to do such an aggressive, such a profound niyar that it's going to impact on everything that's in the pot? Why not up to the bottom half? The answer is that the bottom half of the chaticha, according to Rashi, is not enough to serve as the conduit, meaning to serve as the connecting point between the tipas cholov and the kedera. If Rashi thought the way Tosus thinks, that the bottom part of the chaticha is enough, then niyar should be enough if he mixes it in such a way that it reaches that bottom part of the chaticha. As I said at the outset, I'm not yet ready to, you know, learn this Rashi thoroughly. We have to do so. But then he points out that there's another Rashi. And that's the Rashi right below it, two Rashis below it. So again, you're counting up from the bottom of Kuf Ches Amud Beis. I think it's 8 lines that's counted together. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom of the page. Miflat lo polit. And Rashi says, Be'acheros es tamachalov. But the main point is the next few words in Rashi. Shachalov bigaga shel chaticha havi. So he's talking about the milk that's reaching only the gag, the top part of the chaticha. And Rashi's implying that the tipas cholov, if I'm reading the Marsha here, eino nifletes me'achaticha shenoflo leo el ever shar hachatichos, that Rashi's trying to explain why is it that without niyar, the tipas cholov does not penetrate from that chaticha till the rest of the chatichos to penetrate into them. Again, that's without nir. Mishum says Rashi shachalav begagosh al chaticha have, which means that the milk is only on the top part of the chaticha. So he says the following: Ilu hayas sover. If Rashi would have accepted Tosfos, that hachaticha nimtzeis michutz lerotev. They were talking about a case where the chaticha, if you remember, that received the tipas chalav is completely above the rotev. It's sitting on the chaticha that's below it, that's half in and half out. Hoya la lomar, Rashi should have said shachalav bichaticha havi. According to Tosis, the language should have been that the milk is trapped in the chaticha. But why does Rashi say no, the milk is trapped in the gag of the chaticha, the top part of the chaticha? Vadai, it seems clear that Rashi understood that we're talking about a chaticha that's half outside the rochev, but the bottom half of the chaticha is submerged within the rotev. And Rashi wants to point out that the chalav, the milk, is not mispashed because it gets trapped in the top half of the chaticha, which is called the gaga chaticha, and that's called the chatzi ha'elyon, the top part of the chaticha, she'eno b'toch ha'rotev, which is not submerged. But be that as it may, whatever the diuk is in Rashi, Tosfos definitely accuses Rashi of maintaining that our Mishnah is addressing a case where the chaticha that received the tipas chalav is half outside the rotev, on top of the rotev, and half inside the rotev. And Tosfos objects to that because according to Tosfos, in such a scenario, we don't need near. Immediately, the tam of the chalav would be mispashi throughout the entire chaticha because of the bottom half of the chaticha that's submerged in the rotev. So that's a quick overview of what we did last week. Now the Mishnah goes on to say that near es hakedera, that if he immediately mixed the kedera, now we're going to try to figure out the impact of the tipa on the entire kedera. So it's no longer a question of whether or not the tipa gave a tam into the top piece of meat, but now the question is whether the tipa gave tam into the entire kedera. Im yeshba benosein tam bi osa kedera, meaning the entire contents of this pot. And again, if you ask me up front, what are the statistical probabilities that this small drop of milk would have had an impact on the entire kedera? Again, unless it's a very small cholent pot, you know, but if it's a serious middle of the road, I doubt it. I doubt if there's enough in the tipas cholov to give tam in the entire kedera. So in that case, the Mishnah is now being makil if he does this near. Again, the chumra part would be if, let's say, there's not that much in the kedera such that the tipas cholov would give a tam into the entire kedera. So now it's no longer an issue of one chaticha. Your issue is whether you might have to throw out the entire kedera, everything that's inside. But if we go with the cooler side for a minute, because I want to introduce a chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan, then the cooler side would be that if he does this near, and in fact there is shishim in the contents of the pot against the tipas cholav, then everything is mutar. Sealer Chashulchan asks the following question. Ma moil kishanir? I don't understand how it's effective if he mixes the pot. Hallo, bevega harishon, kibla kvar hatichas tam hatipa venaseis nevela. Let me try to explain what I think is bothering the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, how long does it take for that tam from the tipas cholav to penetrate throughout the top chaticha? It's basically immediate. So even if we'd be quick on the draw and he would mix it, we have a principle now that the top chaticha, insofar as it received the tam, because as we said before, the tam and the tipas chalav is mispashetis b'chol chaticha, if that happens immediately, then the entire chaticha which received the tipas chalav becomes nevela. Now, again, I'm reviewing what you know and I'm talking to you as if you are fourth grade, you know, children. So you'll accept my apologies. I'm not trying to insult anyone's intelligence here, but I'm assuming ki'ilu, you know nothing. Well, what is this nevela business over here? Who's talking about nevela? We're talking about basa b'chol. Why confuse it with nevela? Nevela is an animal that died without shechita. Nevela in Masechet Chulin and perhaps throughout Shas becomes like a catchphrase. It's like a paradigm for is macholas asurus, for any non-kosher food. So we use the term nevela. Now the thing about nevela is that it's gufo shel isur. In it itself, it's asur. Every fiber within it is asur. In the case of basa b'chalav, the moment before the chalav gets mixed into the basa is kulo heter, correct? And we're going to have a long discussion about that soon. Now the tipas chalav penetrates into the chaticha. So what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, and we'll see where he gets it from in our sugya today, Mitzvah Hashem, that this piece of meat now becomes nevela. What do I mean it becomes nevela? It's not nevela, it's basa b'chalav, but it's like nevela, it becomes gufo shaliser. It means that the entire piece of meat is osur. It's not that the piece of meat is holding on to some milk in it. You know, that's the enemy. You know, that's the cancerous cells that we have to get rid of. No, no, no. The milk and the meat have combined to form one entity. It's a chefta disur. That's gufo shalisa, and that's called nevela. So the Aruch HaShulchan now is very bothered. What good is nir? How long will it take him to do the nir? Let's say it takes him a second. But during that second of time, the tipas cholov is already mispashi throughout the top chaticha. I mean, you could say this according to Tosus, and that's simple because the chaticha is above the rotev. You could say it even according to Rashi, because Rashi holds that pegago shel chaticha, that's where the tipas cholov is concentrated. But whatever it is, in that part of the chaticha, there's basa b'cholov. So even if he does near immediately, what good is that dough? What good is that going to do? Hare atipa nofelis l'rotev v'enem ispatesh b'chol k'dera b'rega echon. In other words, the tipa is not going to go throughout the k'dera immediately. What it's going to first do is it's going to go throughout the chaticha. V'afal pichin, nevertheless, the Mishnah says, enonu osrim es oso chaticha. In other words, we're not going to prohibit that chaticha shenofla olav mitchila, which received, you know, the brunt of the tipas cholov. What we're going to say is, no, that chaticha also remains mutter because the tipa is now mispashetes b'kol hakedera b'rega echa, because he did a near immediately. U'memela eina chaticha neseres. Ela, but kisha avar zman muot. And this is what the Aruch HaShulchan is trying to figure out. What does it mean, zman muot, if a short period of time passed? V'hoysa atipa b'lua ba ba'osa chaticha bilvad, then nasis nevela, v'efshal atira. He says that if he waits a zman muot before he does the act of nir, then the tipa is now b'lua b'chaticha al-yona. That top chaticha is now completely saturated, again, if it's no same time, with that tipas cholav, and it becomes a nevela, it becomes also. V'yechef shalavar kama hu azman. So Chashul can ask, how long does it take? And at what point do we say, well, it's too late? Buddy, you came too late to do the nir. Why? Because the tipas cholav has already been mispashed, it's bolua in the top chaticha, the chaticha is now nevela. And he says, "Vakol tolui biriyas ene mora ha-hora." And you're going to have to ask a mora ha-hora, he says, and he's going to determine whether you waited too long to do the nir, or you got the nir, you chapped it on time. And he says, you know, what's the mora ha-hora? What does he have? Ruach HaKodesh? What's the mora ha-hora going to do, he says? He says, "Shebo nika roshem hatipa al pnei hachaticha." We have the tipa and the chaticha. And he says that he's going to be able to look, again, he has a certain expert eye, at this chaticha, and he's going to be able to be makir, he can determine and discern whether there's a roshem, there's some sort of, you know, leftover, I don't know what you'd call it, like a, how do you say it in English, a shirayim, you know, some sort of impact, some sort of leftover, I don't know what word we should use.
An impression,
yet there's still some sort of impression of that tipa on the chaticha. And even after the Aruch HaShulchan presents this whole thesis, he adds two words, mitzarech im. Basically, he's not totally comfortable with it either.
I mean, you know, it's the nafkamina, is how big, if I have a chaticha, that's a giant chaticha, it's going to take longer than a small chaticha, no?
Right.
Maybe that's what he means. But the Rav is going to be able to determine, see how big it is. See what's one of those factors. There's a lot of factors that could.
Right. But he says that he's able to be makir the roshim and the tipa and the chaticha. All right, in any event, that's what our Mishnah says. Yeah, this does not, I don't know if this comes up in and I'm sure the Aruch HaShulchan comes up. Okay, fine. Now, if you take a look at Rashi on our Mishnah, first of all, Rashi says, Tipas chol shenofal chaticha b'tocha keder al achas min achatichos. He doesn't tell you what we tried to, you know, detective work and derive from the other Rashis. V'lo higis es ha kedera. He did not immediately mix the kedera. Later on, we're going to see what happens if he waits a while and then he mixes the kedera. Now that's going to be a fascinating issue in the Gemara itself. V'lo nechlak tam atipa el liosa chaticha bilvad. Since he didn't mix it immediately, nechlak means nispashe, the spreading of the tam of the tipa was limited to that chaticha. In yeshba benosei tam biosa chaticha klomar she'ein biosa chaticha levada shishim. So Rashi's talking about a situation where we don't have a tabach uman, you know, some sort of very experienced guy who can tell us, he's a mumche, he can tell us whether he tastes milk in the meat. So what do we do in the absence of a guy? So what we do is we rely on shishim, and we want to see if there's shishim in the chaticha against the tipa. If there's no shishim, so let's say it's a ratio of 1 to 59, then miyad neseres hachaticha. Now, it's very interesting that Rashi emphasized the word miyad, because Rashi wants to tell you that he's already previewing the coming attractions here, that later on we're going to talk about Niyar, and the concept of Niyar would have to be Miyad, because Miyad Neser Sachaticha. So if somehow you're going to prevent the Isur from being Chal in the top Chaticha, he's got to beat the Miyad. You know, he's got to be faster than a Miyad. That's how fast he has to be. Rashi says that our Mishnah is not going to address the question of someone who was he was late in doing Niyar, so it's too late to do Niyar as far as the Tipas Cholov, and B, if there was no Shishim in that Tap Chaticha against the Cholov, now that Chaticha becomes Isur. And what happens if now he does the Niyar, and now he mixes that Chaticha after it became the Vela? And Rashi says, Lo Iri Masnis. And the Mishnah doesn't address that question. Ubigamara Pligibo, if you're anxious to know what's the status of the other pieces of meat in the Kedera, in a case where he wasn't Menayar Miyad, but he was Menayar Liachar Zman, Im choseres osa chaticha vosartam olav. There's going to be a machlokas in the Gemara, which Amir Hashem will get to today. What happens with all the other chatichos? Now you might say to me, "Well, there was no shishim in the top chaticha. Let's say it was 1 to 59, but certainly, you know, the other chatichos would have shishim." But the answer is, now we have a chaticha that in and of itself is also, that's called the vela, and therefore we're not going to be able to be mishayir. We can't evaluate the ratio between the tipas cholov that fell in and all the basa that's in the kedera. Why? Because now that top chaticha became the vela. So now it becomes a whole different ratio. And in all likelihood, there's no shishim in the kedera against that one piece of meat. I mean, there may be, but if there's not, so the question is whether that piece of meat, osrasan olav, does that generate an isur? That's going to be the sugya, which is called efshel esokto, or efshel esokto. We'll get to that. What's near as a kedera? Higis bam miyad. Again, this miyad has to be faster than the original miyad that Rashi mentioned in the previous Rashi of miyad neser sachatich al yona. Now, I don't know what could be faster than that miyad, right? One miyad that's faster than the other miyad. Kodem shekibla chaticha tam in atipa, before that piece of meat has already saturated the milk. And the Aruch HaShulchan is perplexed about this. How do you know? Tahashtin is arva atipa bekula. But now that he did this quick niyar, you know, he was fast on the gun. You know, almost intuitively, he starts doing niyar. Or maybe he's doing niyar for other reasons. You know, because it's good for the mixing. I don't know, but more likely he's deliberately mixing it in order to in order to make sure that the tam of the chol is mispashi b'kol hakedera. And now it depends on the sinas tam the osa kedera. Klomar ein koach b'tipol lesar kulam elam ken yesh b'nosin tam liten b'chol hakedera. So we need now a ratio of 1 to 59 between the milk and the entire contents of the pot. So that's the Rashi over here. So Rashi goes out of his way to point out that the Mishnah is not entering into what's going to be a major minefield, a tremendous plukta. What happens with the other chatichos if he doesn't do a near miyad and he waits until the tipa, the original milk, is mispashe throughout the top chaticha? What impact Alpidin, in terms of Hilchos Tarobes and Isvaheta, would the top chaticha now have on the remaining chatichas? Now keep in mind that this Rashi might very well be Lishitoso. What do I mean? Tosus holds that the top chaticha is where?
Completely
outside. It's completely above the Rotev level. It's possible that according to Tosfos, the reason why the Mishnah doesn't raise the possibility that the other chatichos become their sorrows is because Tosfos holds that since the top chaticha is outside of the Rotev, it really has no impact on the other chatichos. The chiddush of the Mishnah is only that if he does a near miyad, now he creates a relationship between the top chaticha and the rest of the kedera. But if he doesn't do a near miyad, status quo, if we freeze the frame, then there is no impact on the other chatichos. Rashi, on the other hand, might hold that if he doesn't do near miyad, then the original chaticha becomes asura, and now as a result of the continuous cooking process, there's going to be an impact of that chaticha on the rest of the basar. So we don't need to talk about near. Rashi's saying, well, what happens if there is no near? If there's near, if he does it miyad, then the tipas cholov has a ratio, a relationship to the entire kedera. If he waits and he delays, now the original chaticha becomes asura. So Rashi wants to know, what's the relationship between this chaticha and the rest of the kedera? Tosis would point out, Lishitoso, that according to me, says Tosis, this is not an issue at all. Because if he doesn't do near, then there's no relationship between the top chaticha that received the tipa and the rest of the kedera. Meaning the top chaticha becomes nevela, fine. But what does that have to do with the rest of the kedera? It's completely separated from the kedera. So Rashi doesn't need near. Tosis would only raise an issue which is not being raised by our Mishnah, not being addressed by our Mishnah, that if he does near later on, at some period later on, and there's still a cooking going on, then we have to talk about the relationship between the top chaticha and the rest of the kedera. Rashi has a problem, even if he doesn't do any near, and Rashi says this is going to depend on a machlokas, there still might be a relationship between the top chaticha and the rest of the basar in the kedera, because the top chaticha is partially submerged in the rotev. So Mirtz Hashem, we'll try to get to this in a few minutes. So again, Rashi is telling us that our Mishnah could be interpreted even according to the Mandiomer Efshel Sokto Mutter, even according to the Mandiomer Efshel Sokto Asu, which is going to be the Machlokes that we'll get to today. But first, we're going to get to a dialogue between Abaye and Rav. Omer Abaye. Now, just to give you a little background as an introduction to this following sugya, this sugya, which appears in three places in Shas, here in Chulin, in Psochim, and in Nazir, Masechet Nazir. Psochim, it's on Daf Mem Dalet, if you want to make a note of it. Mem Dalet, that's a big, big sugya. And Nazir, Lamed Zayin. So we're talking about Psachim 44 and Nazir 37 and here in Chulin on 108. This is the sugya called Tam Ki Iker Da Oraisa. And the issue addresses the following question. There's a mixture of Iser and Heter in a Tarobis. And the presumption is that if the conditions are met, we have to talk about the heat and all the other things, then there's a tam of Iser that enters into the heter. So let's say, for example, I cook basa nevela with basa shchuta. The tam of the nevela penetrates into the basa shchuta. Am I allowed to eat the basa shchuta if there's nesinas tam? There's no shishim. No, I'm not allowed to eat it. Correct? Is that a doraisa halacha? If it is, that's called tam ki'ikar doraisa, which means the following. Let's say the piece of nevela is identifiable. Let's say it has a red cross on it. You know, you took a red pen and you put an X on it. You know, this is X, this is nevela. And then it fell into a mixture with meat. I take out the nevela. Nobody's going to tell me I'm going to eat the nevela. What's left in the basar shchuta? Tam nevela. How does the Torah view tam without what's called mamosho? Mamosho mem shin. Mem mem shin vav. Mamosho means the actual be'en, the actual substance of the Isur. The substance of the Isur in the flesh is completely removed. What am I left with is the Tama Isur. The Tama Isur penetrates into the Heter. And now the Torah says, if you hold Tam Kikudoraisa, you're not allowed to eat the Heter. Why? Because it's carrying a Tam within it. Or shall we say that Tam Kikur is only the Rabbana Lavdo Rice. So the Torah never said anywhere in the Torah, you look throughout the Torah, you won't find any basis for this radical conclusion that Tamo Veloma Mosho is also. You know, you and I take it for granted, you know, all the laws of Heksher Kalim, for example, right? Why do we take our Kalim and do Hagolah on the Kalim? Because there's a Tam of Isur, Tam of Chometz, let's say, whatever Tam is, that's Bolua in the Kedera. Okay, maybe that whole institution, that whole enterprise is the Rabbana. And in three sukkahs and shas, the Gemara raises this question. And oddly enough, it seems to come to different answers. You know, where is the source for this principle of tam ki ikar doraisa? Now, Abai is going to claim here in our sugya that the source for tam ki ikar doraisa is our Mishnah and the Torah and the prohibition of bas v'cholov. Because again, our Mishnah says that bas v'cholov is asur when there's a tam of cholov in the basar, right? The Mishnah says it all depends upon whether there's a tam. And that's how the Mishnah apparently understood the pasuk of Lo Sevashel Gediva Chalevi Mo, that through the bishul process, a tam of cholov goes into the basar. So let me imagine the following scenario. Again, I don't know if this is true. If a person were to go into McDonald's and he would order a cheeseburger and then he would remove the cheese from the burger. I don't know if he could do such a thing. Just theoretically. In reality, I don't know if he could do such a thing. But let's say the cheese is on top of the burger and he can chop it off. What is left in that burger? I mean, it's probably nevela anyway, but if it was kosher meat, it would have a tam of cholov in it. And our Mishnah is telling us that in such a case, the basar is asur. Why? Because the Mishnah says it all depends upon the sinas tam. Now you could argue that maybe our Mishnah is only the Rabbanan. But the flip side, which would be a doraisa if you assume that tam kikur is only the Rabbanan, is that on a doraisa level, perhaps, any time you have basar and cholov, even if it's not the sinas tam, it would be asur. Why? Because maybe the cholov now penetrates into the basar, and you have a mixture of basar and cholov. Let's say you had a large garment that was made of wool, and you take one stitch of linen, of pishtan, and you stitch it into the tzemer. What's the status of that beged?
It's shatnes.
It's kelayim. I don't care whether or not the ratio is 1 to 60. There's no such thing. Why? Because the Torah says that the mixture of tzemer ufishtan creates an iser shatne. So the mixture of milk and meat, it doesn't matter what the ratio, what the proportion of the milk is vis-a-vis the meat, it would be kelayim. It would be shatnes. It would be basar b'cholov. So it's impossible that the Rabbanan are going to say, no, it's not basar b'cholov. Why? Because it's known as seen as tam. The Rabbanan can't be mekil on something that the Torah was machmir on. Apparently, our Mishnah is talking about an Isur Doraisa, and it's a bona fide, full-fledged Isur Torah when there's tam of the cholov in the basar. And Abai is going to say, if that be the case, then we have a good, solid source in the Torah for the concept of tam ki ikar. What the Torah is saying is that through the process of bishul, the tam of the cholov goes into the basar. Now the basar becomes a cheftz of the surah, and the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it. And this we derive from the fact that the Torah repeats also Vashel Gediba Chalemo three times. One of them is to teach you that you're not allowed to eat the product of Bishul Basar B'chol. Why? So our Mishnah gives us the answer. The reason why, I don't mean a philosophical why, but a halachic why, the mechanics of it, why you're not allowed to eat this, is because the basar has the ta'am of chalav in it. If the basar didn't get the ta'am of chalav, then it would be mutar. So Abai sees in our Mishnah a new world called Tam Ki Iker Doraisa. Because again, our Mishnah is talking about the Issa Doraisa. Does the Cholav impact on the Basar and Aser it on a total level? It all depends upon whether there's Nesinas Tam. So you see that Nesinas Tam is the source, so to speak, that generates the Issa. So you need a certain ratio, a certain proportion, a certain significant amount of cheese to prohibit the meat. Well, and that's based on Tam Ki Iker.
I don't understand how it's so clear that the Mishnah is talking about Doraita.
Okay, so we'll try to fill it in as we go along. Okay. But let me just say this. Before this sugya in Chulin, we have a sugya in Nazir, which is called, that's probably mine, that's Zroa B'Shela B'Ayel. So the Torah says that when the Nazir completes his Nazirus, amongst various karbonis that he has to bring, one is called an ayil, and the Torah says that the zroa, I don't know how you say that in English, like the arm of this ayil is designated for the Kohen. The rest of the basar is eaten by the Nazir. Let's assume the Nazir is not a Kohen, right? So we have what's called an Issa Zarus, and yet, paradoxically, the Torah says that you can cook this ayil, and the Nazir will eat let's start with the Kohen. The Kohen will eat the Zroa, and the balance of the ayil will be eaten by whom? By the
Bala Korban.
Bala Korban, who's a Zar. So the Gemara asks, why? I mean, after all, the moment you cook it together, the Torah doesn't require that you remove the Zroa before the Bishul. The Torah goes out of its way to say that you do not remove the Zroa. So why shouldn't there be an Issa Zarus for the Nazir to eat the balance of the Korban? And the Gemara answers, because the Torah is teaching us the din of Nesinas Tam, that the Zroa in its ratio to the larger aisle is so minimal that it doesn't give time into the aisle. And the Torah is implying that had you had a mixture where the zroa, let's say, was much longer, were larger, and it would have a profound impact on the aisle, then it would be also a zar because of tam ki kudo raisa. The Gemara tries to reject it based on a principle called min bimino, meaning that when you want to talk about Nesinas Tam, you want to talk about a clash between two different Tam. But in the case of Zroa and Ayil, it's one Tam. So that might operate with totally different regulations. And the Torah might say that even though it gave Tam, it's not also because it's the same Tam, and there's no Tam Iser, which was Mischadesh. But in the case of Min V'Sheino Mino, how do you know that Tam Ki Iker is Doraisa? And here's where Abai derives it from Basar B'chol. Omer Abai, Tamo V'lo Mamoshel. The Mishnah here in Basar B'chol is predicated on the principle called Tam Ki Ikar, meaning Tamo V'lo Mamoshel. And that means that even though you remove the mamash means, again, if you're Lubavitcher, it has one meaning, but for us, right, for us, the mamash means the be'en, the actual physical object, and you removed it. So what are you left with? You're left with tam. Doraisa. Now, the word bi'alma is very critical here. Why? Because you and I might have said, and this is going to be the main sugya for today, that, okay, Tam of Lomamash is also, but that's only in Basar B'chol. And that's not Abaye's point. Abaye is trying to convey and establish that bi'alma, that this principle that we derive, that operates in Bas B'cholav, is a universal principle and applies B'chol Yisuri Torah. That's called bi'alma. And the source for this is going to be Bas B'cholav. Now we'll soon see Rashi. Rashi at the very end, I mean, we want to go through the whole Rashi, but the last two words in Rashi, Dibra Masal Omer Abaye, are Bamem Atzinu, which is also called a Binyan Av. Those are synonymous terms. There are 13 principles by which we darshan the Torah, and one of them is called Bamem Atzinu. And what happens is that if you have one halachic scenario, and the Torah explicitly addresses a principle that applies to that scenario, we can equate other scenarios that are similar, but Binyan Adoma, what's called, and come to the same conclusion that we can apply those principles. So basically what's happening here is Abaye is applying Bamem Atzinu. He looks into the parsha of Bas B'cholav, then he looks into our Mishnah, and he finds this combination very, very powerful, very profound. The Mishnah is going to interpret the Torah itself, that when the Torah says, Lo Sevashal Gedi B'chalevi Mo, which means when the Torah repeats itself that it's also to eat the product of this bishul, it's because, says the Mishnah, of Nesinas Tam. Everything boils down to Nesinas Tam, says the Mishnah. Did the chalav impart its taste into the basar? Well, ask a kfeila. And if you can't ask a kfeila, a goy is not available, then you mashaya b'shishim. And we talked about a case where, says Abaye, in basar b'chalav, everything depends upon Tam. And don't think for one moment that we could block the principle of Bamem Atzinu and say it doesn't apply over here. Now, what I'm about to share with you, but first we want to go through the Rashi, is the Chidush HaRim. Chidush HaRim, in addition to being one of the founders of Hasidus for the Gera dynasty, was also a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he doesn't understand this sugya. So if we don't understand this sugya, by the way, we're in good company, together with the Chidush HaRim, and I'll explain to you why the Chidush HaRim cannot understand Abaye. But first, let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hoda asrinan b'chol isurim, meaning in all isurim of the Torah, Mishnah Seinu, meaning it's our Mishnah. He doesn't mean our Mishnah, meaning this Mishnah in Chulin. He means the Mishnah in Psachim, the Mishnah in Nazir, wherever the Mishnah tells us that Tam Beheta, that if you cook Iser Beheta, now the Tam of the Iser penetrates into the Heter, and it's all Asur. Afal Pisha Ein Ochel Mamish, there's no substance of food. Kigon Sile Ka Isur, right, he removes the Nevela from the mixture, or he moves the Bosa, the aisle, from the Zroa, separates them. V'enkan El Taimo, and all you're left with is just the Tam of the Isur. And it's also Do'oraisa hi. How? Says Abaye Gamrinon mi Bosar B'cholov. The Asra Rachmana Bachilu mi Gamrinon L'kamon. So one of those three times is going to teach me that you're not allowed to eat the product of this bishul. You can remove the chalav. Let's say I have a big piece of cheese. So you identify the cheese after it was cooked with the meat, and you eat them separately, or take out the cheese and eat the meat. But once it was cooked, it's awesome. And since we see this in Basa B'cholav, that the Isra Achilus Basa B'cholav is a result of Nesinas Tam. Now, how do you know that Lo Sevashel Gedi B'chalevi Mo means that there was a Nesinas Tam? Says Abaye, you know from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah tells you that Tipas Cholav, it all depends upon Yesh Bab Beno Sein Tam or Ein Bab Beno Sein Tam. Uminei Gamrina L'chol Isurim B'Bamem Matzinu. And from Basa B'cholav, we can derive the conclusion that all Isurim is Tam, is Asur, even without the Mamish. So Masalik the Isur, but the Tam of Isur remains. And it's awesome. So the Chidush HaRim says, I don't understand what's going on. I'm going to read to you this line. Heich efshal lilmo mi basa b'chol l'shari surim. How did it cross Abaye's mind that we could derive conclusions from basa b'chol l'shari surim? Hello, basa b'chol shen is bashlu. Hofchim lios gufo shal iser. The Torah says, don't cook these two substances together, the chalav and the basar, because as a result of this bishul, you have an iser basar b'chalav. Masha'enkein b'shari surim, the Torah doesn't say don't cook basar shchuta with basar nevela, but rather it's nesar ha'heter. The heter becomes osur. But the question is, how do you know that the heter becomes osur? Well, that has nothing to do with Basar B'Cholav. In Basar B'Cholav, the Torah says, since the Bishul took place, and as a result of the Bishul, you have a new Tam, let's call it, a new entity, which is called Basar B'Cholav. When you combine those two through Bishul, the Torah says that's Asur. How do I know in a case where you have Heter, that Heter becomes Asur because it's carrying within it the Tam of Isur? The Tam that's Nivla Bo. That cannot be derived from Basar B'Cholav. Basar B'Cholav is unique in that the Torah says that when you cook it together, you end up with an Iser. The Odin, he says, furthermore, I don't understand something about the language of Abaye. Now, to appreciate the second kasha of the Chidush Arim, let's read the language of Rav. Rav says that Kevan Shenosan Tam B'Chaticha. I'm reading the wrong. Omar Abaye, Tamo Veloma Mosho, Bi Alma Doraisa. So far, so good. So Tamo Veloma Mosho, we call Tam Ki Iker, is awesome with the rice. The E Salke Daitach, Durabonon, if you're going to tell me that once I remove the Iser, then I'm allowed to eat the heter, even though it carries the tam that's on a deraisa level. The Rabbanon were the ones who enacted this kind of a gzera, this decree, and they said, no, since there's tam, that's enough to asur it. Is me boss of a chol of my time alo gamrinon? Why should you argue that the entire enterprise of tam here in boss of a chol of, no, I'm sorry, why should you argue that the universal principle in Kol HaTorah Kula with Nevela and other Isurim is that Tam Kikar is only Durabbanon, then why not derive the opposite conclusion, says Abai, from Basar B'Cholav? My time will lo gamrinon. So the Chidush Arim points out this is a very strange syntax. What's he saying? He's saying, my time will lo gamrinon. If you're going to tell me that Tam Kikar is only the Rabbanon, why don't you derive the opposite conclusion from Basar B'Cholav? He says that Hayetzorach Lomar B'Der Chiyuv. He shouldn't have said it in a negative way, that if you argue with me and you hold this way, so why don't you derive from this? He should have said, Pashut, Tam Kikar Do Raisa V'Alfina Lemi Basar B'Cholav. So these are the two questions. The first question is very conceptual, you know, very fundamental. The second question is a little bit more textual in terms of the language of Abaye, why he said it in this roundabout way instead of saying straight up front, but ofen chiyuvi in a positive way. He should have said, Tam ki ikar doraisa mi basar b'cholav. So Mirz Hashem, we'll have Sukkos to think about this Chidush Arim. But let's go on in the Gemara. The Chidush Arim has a lot of trouble with this Gemara. Now again, keep in mind that the Sugyas in Psachim and Nazir have other sources for Tam Kiikar. For example, I mentioned before Zroab Shela in the case of El Nazir. Now the strange thing is that the Sugya of Psachim is actually written by Abaye. Mm-hmm. And so we don't know how to square the two, because Abaye here is totally ignorant of his Kilu, totally ignores completely his own Shita over there in Psachim and in Nazir, that Tam Kikar is derived from other sources. So it could be, that's what Tosus points out here, Dira Maskel Mibasa, the second Tosus, that our Abaye here is only a Havamim, because Rav is about to shlug up Abaye, and Abaye there in Psachim is the Maskon of Abaye. Notice, once Rav completely nullifies this Yalfusa, this Bamem Atzinu from Basar B'Cholav, Abaye feels compelled elsewhere in Shas to come up with another source for Basar B'Cholav, for Tam Ki Iker. Oh. So now Abaye speaks to himself, and he asks himself the following question. He says, and if you'll tell me, you know what? My time alo gamrinon, the devil's advocate here, that you cannot derive anything from Bas B'chov, the Chidush. For some reason, we cannot derive any conclusions from Bas B'chov because Bas B'chov is a Chidush. We'll see exactly what that is in Rashi. The Chidush is Afal Gav, the Lekano Saint Tam Nami. If you're going to tell me that Bas B'chov is a Chidush, and therefore, you know, it undermines the principle of Bamei Matzino, we can't derive from a Chidush to Kol Tor Kula. So then I'm going to ask you the following question, then why does the Mishnah say it all depends upon the Sinas Tam? Apparently the Mishnah is applying, is activating the universal principle of no same Tam. It's not operating this principle called Chidush. So again, we have two principles that are mutually exclusive. One principle is called Chidush, and the other principle is called the Sinas Tam. If we apply the principle of Chidush, then we don't need Nesinas Tam. Then Bas B'chov, like the case I gave you before of Kelayim in Pgadim, would be usher even if there's no Nesinas Tam, even if there's no significant admixture of Tzemer and Pishtin, or Pishtin and Tzemer, it still is usher. We don't care how much of a mixture of Cholov there is with Basar. And that's what Abai says, he Chidush, if you're going to tell me it's a Chidush, and we're not operating here with the universal principles that apply to Issa V'het and Tarovas, is then Afagav Deleka no Saint Tam. Then no matter what small minimum volume of milk gets mixed up in this pot of meat, it should always be osur, because you don't have this principle called Nesinas Tam. You're operating within the framework of Chidushu. Now what is Chidushu? And here we have three different answers to the question, what Chidushu is. Yeah, Osher?
I was
going to
say, why can't you split Chidushu, could do separate things. Chidushu, the Chidushu could be that there's an iser of actually hana, and you know of other use, whereas there's the iser achil has only been those in time.
Right, but you see, the Gemara is not operating with the repercussions or the outcome of the iser. The Gemara is operating with how does this iser get generated? What creates Bas B'chov? Is it Nesinas Tam, or is it just a mixture even without Nesinas Tam? The latter is called Chidush.
What I'm saying is maybe as a svara, you could say that you both, it's two components. Once you do it, there's an element of iser that occurs of possible chalav, that's chal right away, but the iser of eating the possible chalav is only when there's no sita.
I see what you're saying. I thought you were pinning it on the iser.
No, I was saying that there's two components that affect the possible chalav.
So let's take a look at Rashi Chidushu. We don't have too much time. Rashi says the following. We saw the Rashi about Bamei Matzino. We didn't go through the next Rashi, which is Isal Kedai to Bechol Shar Yisurim Tamo Durabonon. He, if you're going to say that Tam in all Yisurim is Durabonon, Velogamrina, Delogamrina Lemi Bosu Becholov, and my time Velogamrina Minei Mishum Dechidushu. And then the Gemara is going to say, Abai is going to argue Yichidushu that it should be also even if it's not no same Tam. So Rashi says, Dishneim, what's the chidush? Dishneim min heter, zelavado, vizelavado. Each element in the equation is heter, ushenis arvu, nesru. That's Rashi's first pshat in chidush. So that this is a real radical chidush. You take heter and heter, put it together, becomes iser. That's like a rabbit out of your hat. Tosis objects to this, because Tosis says we saw that in Kelayim. So there are other Isurim which are a combination of Heter v'Heter. This is not the only case. Chidushu presumably should be a unique case. But let's look at Rashi's second pshat. The Od, Shederach Bishol Nesra Belo Achila. Where do we find that the Torah says about a certain Isur that you're not allowed to create that Isur? For example, let's say you shoot an animal, right? So it becomes Nevela. The Torah says it's also because you created Nevela. The Torah never says that it's also to create an Isur, except for the case of Bosa B'chola, where the Torah went out of its way to say, Lo Savashel Gedi B'chalevi Mo. Hilkoch lo gamrinin chumra minayhu. In other words, it seems that according to Rashi's second pshat Nabaye, the mechanics of Bas B'chov is so unique that the whole system operates according to its own rules, and it might go in both directions. You know, it might be l'chumra, it might be l'kula. And then Rashi is going to point out that if it's a chidush, then it should be osur even without nesinas tam. And that's going to be similar to kalai akera or kalai begod. Tosus has another sheet over here. Tosus apparently holds that the chidush of basa b'cholav, Pirsh b'kunchus, he says the third Tosus, the shnei min heta zelavad of a zelavak shes arvod esorim. Okay, fine. Kalayim nami, says that's not a chidush. He says the chiddush is that kavush harei kumavushal does not apply in the case of basa b'cholav. What does it mean? So if you take a piece of nevela and you soak it bitsonin, you know, we're not talking about yad soles because then the bliya and the heter would be immediate. So he soaks it in heter for 24 hours, and we have a principle of kavush harei hu kumavushal. So we don't need any heat element here in order to create the tam. The tam is also even without heat in the case of kavush. Not so in basa b'cholav. If you take a piece of meat and you soak it in milk for a full 24 hours, the Torah would say it's mutter. So again, according to Tosis, the chiddush here is not l'chumra, as Rashi said in his second pshat, because it's also even b'bishul, but adrav, there's a chidush l'kula over here, that even in a case where you had tam, if that tam was not a product, a result of bishul, but rather of another method of tam, which means that the cholav gave tam in the bus because of kavush, nevertheless it's mutter. So it's funny that Tosus' chidush is dafka l'kula. Rashi's first pshat is also a little bit l'kula, but then he says it's l'chumra because he took two things that are heter and magically it became osur. That's a pretty big chumra in basa b'cholav. It doesn't apply to any surim, although Tosus objects because of kelayim. And Rashi's second pshat is that there's a tremendous chumra in basa b'cholav so far as the Torah prohibited even bishul. Now Tosis comes up with a kula in basa b'cholav, paradoxically. And that makes it into a chidush. That despite the fact that kovush harei kimavushal for all isuri Torah, and is nesinas tam through kovush, nevertheless in the case of basa b'cholav, it's not asur, even if he leaves the basa soaking in the milk for a full 24 hours. So Avosai, here's where we'll end. And we didn't get up to Rava. Rava's going to disprove Abaye, and then we're going to hopefully see why Abaye accepted Rava's shlugah, and therefore he needs Rava B'Sheila as the source for Tom Kiko. So let me take this opportunity to wish everyone a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, Chag Sameach. Yes, a Simcha D'Kachag. I mean, it's all about Simcha.
Are you going to ELC now?
I am on my way to the ELC.
Yeah,
if I can take you along, that'd be great. Okay. Let me just make sure I take everything here, because I don't want to.